I'm super Alabama jammer, she my Dixieland delight. That's how we do, fancy light.
Happy trails to you until we meet again.
It's your old pal Phil Nee saying happy trails. We'll see you on down the trail here today on WRCO-FM in Richland Center, Wisconsin. It's a beautiful 74 degrees at 9 o'clock. Our news update is sponsored by Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, serving Southwest Wisconsin since 1889, and the Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, along with video games.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. In Moscow, Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gerskovich has officially been charged with espionage. Authorities say he will stand trial in the Russian city of Yekaterinburg. Former President Donald Trump is returning to Capitol Hill soon for the first time since that rally on January 6th. He will be meeting with Republican members of Congress. G7 leaders meeting in Italy, traveling with the President Biden. ABC White House correspondent Selena Wang.
President Biden is kicking off the G7 summit here in Italy, meeting and shaking hands with global leaders. And his priority here is to ramp up efforts to stop Russia's war in Ukraine. In just a few hours, he'll be meeting with Ukraine's President Zelensky to sign a historic long-term security agreement.
Another sign, inflation pressures are easing. The Labor Department says wholesale prices fell 0.2% from April to May after rising 0.5% the month before. Labor Department also saying number of Americans filing for unemployment benefits has jumped to its highest level in 10 months. This is ABC News. A medical first in Oklahoma with a high-tech surgery on a child.
Eight-year-old Carly Fry is now the first child to receive a robotic deep brain stimulation. The procedure implants electrodes into the patient's brain and treats movement disorders using a tablet. Carly's family can now tune the electrodes in her brain.
We can turn it up or we can turn it down as needed.
Carly went from not always being able to sit up or feed herself to walking out of the hospital after the procedure, even using her own voice occasionally.
That's ABC's Rhiannon Alley. Winning Wimbledon will mean a monster of a payday. The All England Club this morning announcing the total prize money will jump to about $64 million, a new record. The singles champions will each earn nearly $3.5 million. And a whole lot of us love riding the rails. Amtrak says it's on track to get back to pre-pandemic levels and break the ridership record set in 2019. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
You work hard. Making the right choice for lunch isn't hard. The Phoenix Center opens at 10 o'clock Monday through Saturday and Sunday at 4 p.m. with all your lunchtime favorites. Burgers, salads, terrific appetizers, specialty sandwiches, wraps, and more. Easy in, easy out. The Phoenix Center is the perfect way to break up the day. Can't get away for lunch? Let the team at the Phoenix Center serve you a great meal tonight, including the world-famous Phoenix Center pizza. Or call ahead, 649-7469, for carryouts from the Phoenix Center in Richland Center.
We're now into the 9 o'clock hour, and we want to give you another word that you can text in and be a part of the Civic Media Scani Summer Text to Win Statewide Contest. This hour's word is sun, S-U-N. A big part of summertime, sun is the word. So make sure that you're all prepared there. Either download the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. Find the station, preferably WRCO. You can use that text button to send the keyword sun this hour.
People often ask us at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service in Gattiger Pratt Funeral Home, what can I do to help? I'm Mark Jelinek. Some of the suggestions we share are simple and practical. Preparing food, washing clothes, cleaning the house, mowing the yard, or answering the telephone are just a few of the practical ways to show you care. Remember, support is needed at the time of death, and it is no less important in the weeks and months afterwards. For more helpful information, visit us at PrattFuneralService.com.
A high of 83 today, some sunshine later in the day, southwest and northwest winds at 8 to 18. Mostly clear tonight, a low of 56. Friday, lots of sunshine and lower humidity with a high of 80. A few clouds Friday and 55. Saturday, 76 with a 30% chance of showers in the afternoon, a 50-50 chance of showers and thunderstorms at night. And Sunday, a high of near 90. Very warm and humid after some early showers. Celebrate June Dairy Month with WRCO and Quick Trip. Win 1 gallon of chocolate milk every Friday. Be the sixth caller when you hear the Lady Bell Beller and win. Keep listening and good luck from WRCO.
Community First Bank makes switching easy. Our bankers use switch assistance to help you change over direct deposits, loan payments, bill payees, recurring transfers, and much more. Plus, you'll get more from your checking account relationship. Switch today and experience firsthand how Community First Bank, a local community bank, puts you first.
Community First Bank is first for you. CFBank.com. Member FDIC.
Ready to upgrade your lawn care game? Hillsboro Equipment has unbeatable deals. Save $200 on the brand new John Deere S220 lawn tractors and a whopping $400 on the John Deere Z370R electric Z-Track zero-turn mowers. At Hillsboro Equipment, locally owned and operated, offering products that make your outdoor living easier and more enjoyable. With experience, fair prices, and friendly atmosphere, they are big enough to meet all your equipment needs, yet small enough to know you by name. Visit Hillsboro Equipment, Boston Equipment, and Slama's Lawn and Sport in Reedsburg today and take advantage of these incredible savings.
Jelinek Plumbing and Heating. It's good to know someone you can trust when your home gives you a headache. Featuring 24-hour emergency service for plumbing, heating, and cooling. Jelinek Plumbing and Heating has been a trusted name when it comes to helping you solve any plumbing, heating, or cooling needs. Jelinek Plumbing and Heating, offering 24/7 service, reasonable rates, and we guarantee the job will be done right. Jelinek Plumbing and Heating, 649-7916.
Today's specials are country and community from the WRCO studios, sponsored by Richland Family Restaurant.
On our morning show from WRCO and WRCE, we're here to talk about some great things going on in the Valley. River Valley District Administrator Lauren Glassbrenner, our guest in the studio. How you doing today, Lauren?
I'm great, Bill. Thanks for having me again. I love coming over and just chatting about all the great things that are happening in our Valley.
Well,
right?
You know,
I loved your word. Text people in to get into that thing. It's a sunny day in the Valley. And I love sun, S-U-N, and it's really a nice day out there. So we're finally being blessed with some good weather. I saw a few branches down as I came over the hill in Sextonville and all that. But yeah, there's, you know, some people got some stiff winds last night, but it looks like the cleanup will be at least in a beautiful sunny day.
You bet. I was really pleased to see how far your River Valley girls soccer team went this year in the tournament.
Yeah, we are really excited about River Valley girls soccer. Again, a really balanced team. Some kids that are seniors, some kids that are freshmen, but in there they became regional champions, and that's a really big deal for a program. You think of girls soccer as being kind of a newer kind of sport, I guess, within the state of Wisconsin. So we're trying to build that history over at the Valley, and it was the first regional championship for girls soccer in our school's history, and we had some kids that really did well all year, so they were recognized on their team. So I'd love to read some names if I'm able, sir.
Sure. Go ahead.
You know, so for first team, we had Karina Osborne, and she also was the co-conference player of the year. So great job to Karina. Also on first team, we had Addie Lila and Elena Merritt. And then on second team, we had Liz Baumberger and Delaney Johnson. And Delaney was our goalie. So she did great work there. Grace Morey was recognized, Lily Saperstein and Savea Youngquist. So just a bunch of kids on first and second team, with Bella Clary and Montana Joles getting an honorable mention. So just a great team effort that was led by Mr. Todd Dibert, and he was recognized as the Southwest Conference Coach of the Year for girls soccer. So that's a pretty cool thing, too. So we're really proud of them.
Very impressive, and they were able to host a sectional semifinal. That drew a big crowd to Spring Green that night, didn't it?
Yeah, it's a beautiful Pitch. I have to get back into my head, right? It's Miller Pitch at that point. And again, based on the Miller family that's done some incredible donating work and work previously in our community, we have a beautiful soccer facility, a beautiful football facility, a beautiful track facility now. And so we feel very lucky and we feel it's good for our community to get out there and use it. And regionally, it's nice to offer up those hosting events as well.
And they were within an eyelash of going to state because they lost 4-3 in overtime in the sectional final.
I believe
final.
It was a double overtime.
Double overtime.
So that's it's just incredible. It speaks to the hard work. But what I also like about that is it really speaks to the equity in that game. I never like to see when we get to the end of a season where we're at a regional or a sectional or any of those things where somebody gets just blasted with a 10-0, right? Like that always kind of breaks my heart that somehow somebody's having an off day. But when you see somebody win in overtime at 4-3, you can swallow that with pride and stand up tall and really feel like you worked hard and that you deserved to be there. And I just think it was a great moment for the Valley. And I'm really proud of the kids. And I think they've just really believed in themselves. And so as they went to the regional championship, they had this little motto of believe to achieve. And I think that's really important for all our kids. They have to believe in themselves so they can achieve it. And I just was really proud. Another great moment for the Valley, but it also, again, like I try to say every time, I have the best job. You know, I have the best job to represent the systems and all the policies and all the things that help make River Valley a really special place to go to school.
How did graduation go this year?
Graduation was wonderful. A beautiful day for graduation as well. So we had an incredible graduation ceremony and we, you know, ushered those successful seniors to their next steps. And whether that means that they're going to get a job in our community, whether that means they're going straight to that career, whether that means they're going to a college, whether it's 2 or 4 year, whether that means they're going to an apprenticeship or going straight into job training, or maybe they're hitting the service and they want to, you know, commit some time to their country. All of those steps are things that we can faithfully and graciously send them off to. And it's a great thing to see them make that step. I get the great job of they shake a hand, they get a diploma, they come past their two administrators and they come to me and I get to take a tassel from one side and flip it to the next. And I always say to them, you finally did it. And some of them look up with amazement like I did. And some of them are like, thank God. Right. You know, so like it's great, but it's a neat, I guess, symbol of really watching them take that final step as they step across our stage at River Valley High School and jump into what comes next.
Indeed. So what comes next for you? I think some people probably think that Mr. Glassbrenner's, you know, he rests all summer.
Yeah.
But I think maybe it gets busier in the summer, doesn't it?
It does get busy in the summer. And I just sat at a community meeting last night. I was sitting at a committee that I sit on. It's River Valley Commons, which is a great group of people that help nonprofits and volunteer groups really do what's best for the area. So I sit on a committee there as they're on their chair. And it's a great committee, but I think about that. And they even said to me last night, well, what are you doing this summer? Well, we finalized some celebrations, which I'll talk about those in a moment. But then you're truly trying to get ready for the next year. So as soon as that final student crosses the stage as a senior, then I'm thinking about, okay, the 4Kers are coming in. Are we ready for preschool? Do we have everything ready at the Early Learning Center? Do we have what we need to get through summer school? Do we have all our policies updated? So I'll go through that in just a second. I'm going to go back to celebrations really quick. I think there's some other teams that did some incredible things. We ended strong with a really young track team. I was really proud of them. I want to give shout outs as well to a regional championship in softball, fast pitch. Again, Coach Jane Briel just lets those girls hit that ball out of the park. So she was representing again and was the co-coach of the year for softball. We had several kids recognized for all conference in softball with Tessa Schluter and Lydia Willoughby. Second team with Makarowski, Davini, and Stokes. And then honorable mention to a Hegland, of course. And then just, I think it was last week or the week before, I want to really give a shout out to Chase Bindle. Chase Bindle is the state champion at our Wisconsin State High School Clay Target League. So that Clay Target team that we have at River Valley, which is a busting out of the seams kind of group, has now a JV team and a varsity team. And our JV team took 6th at state. Our varsity team took 3rd at state. But then our individual won. So congrats out to Chase, too, on all the great things that the kids are doing. So back to your question. What do? We recognize all these great celebrations, right? We really think about those were incredible things, and we're really happy that the kids are involved in all those great things. But then we think about what comes in the summer to get ready for all those great things to start all over again. Really, the job of a superintendent lies in the idea of making sure that your policies and your processes and all your systems are ready for those successful moments for those kids. And if they haven't been so successful, how do we get them to be successful, if you will? So I guess we look at every policy anyways monthly, but there are several school board policies because it's a public governing agent, the school board. They're run on a set of policies, everything from student policies to personnel policies to employment policies. And I'll give you an example. Just last month, we got some updates that all of Title IX, which takes a look at some classes for gender, have to be redone. So that means every space in every policies, and there's hundreds of them, that mentions gender or harassment around gender or discrimination, they all have to be rewritten. And so all of that paperwork has to go through not only like the secretarial work to get it there, but it's got to go through board approval. So you have to draft it. You have to read it. You have to take it to a second reading. You've got to get it through committee. From committee, you've got to get it back to full board. And all along the way, you're taking the advice of your legal team to make sure that you're doing it in exactly the right way so that you're protecting the district. So like, for example, that Title IX update is requiring hours of work that the district superintendent gets to do. We look at a lot of contracts and agreements for negotiations are just finalized. So then you're getting all of that sent out and making sure that you have all your positions filled. So we have some new teachers coming into our elementary school, which is incredible. You want to honor the retirees as they head out the door and pack their final bags, but then you also want to usher in those new people that have that new energy, and you want to do that successfully. So there's a lot of employment stuff that's happening. Also, within our state, and I'm sure some people have seen it on the news, there's some new literacy legislation. So Act 20 is some new legislation that's right around early literacy and the skills that kids need to have while they're in kindergarten, first grade, second grade, and third grade. And so there's some new benchmarks that are being placed in every school district across the state of Wisconsin, but that involves a new screener. And a screener is basically something that is set in place so that as the kids come in the door in the fall, we have to check where they are, take a temperature. What sub-skills do they need to work on the most? So that new screener's coming in. The state announces that next week. Oh. So when the state announced what screener I have to use in the fall, then I've got to get every teacher that touches a student between K and 3 to be informed through professional development about the new screener as they walk in the door in the fall. So there's all these little things that are in the place where we've really got to work on curriculum, testing, training, professional development, all those great things as we go through the summer to get everybody ready for our first days in September.
So you go by what the state says, and you mentioned that you have to change some of the terminology. Mm-hmm. That's something that came down from the state level that you have
it
to
does.
Change that.
Often the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction is working with our state legislature, and within that committee, then they bring it forward, and we work in a collaborative space, I would say, and then those things come to a district. The district has to take that on. Often that comes without a lot of funding. They say you've got to change out the way you're doing literacy training, and there'll be a little money here, but there won't be all the money there. So then the districts are required all across Wisconsin to change the testing of how they do early literacy, as well as really consider the materials that you currently have. Will those meet our new expectations? So for many districts across the state of Wisconsin, there's going to be some rapid movement of purchasing some new things, which may not have been in anybody's budget. So that's just a great example of when people say, you know, why do you need more money? What are you doing? Can't you just give them a book? I can't just give them a book because I've got to meet the state expectations now that are set by legislature as well as the Department of Public Instruction. So yes, we can give them a book, but we've got to give them the right book at the right time doing the right things. And that's a pretty complicated process. So again, it's great. I love the work, but there's a lot of work to do in the summer. So to respond to Jack, last night, Jack asked me, well, what do? There's nothing to supervise. There's a ton of work to do. There's a lot going on in our summer, and it's good work. It's exciting work, but district administration, as well as my entire administrative team, is busy in the summer prepping so that those teachers and kids kids can take their break. They can step away, get their brains and bodies ready to come back to us. But I really believe that administrative team is on high alert during summer to get everything ready.
And that's a time, too, when you're kind of getting the school all ship-shaped for the next year, waxing and polishing and everything else going on, too.
Absolutely. I'm sure. There's a custodial team that's going through our schools right now, taking every piece of furniture out of every room. You've got to dust it, clean it, fix it, repair it, replace it, right? Like all of that comes out of that classroom. And then from the ceiling to the floor, if it's a vent, it gets wiped. If it's a tile, it gets checked. You come down the walls. It's kind of the top to bottom cleaning follow through. And then when you get to the floor, you do a first initial wash, and then a team will come in and re-wax that, because we all know school floors are usually, 12 by 12 tiles that need to be waxed and buffed, and we get all of that in. And then as you put everything back in, the teachers have drawn their map or taken a photo of exactly how that furniture comes back into that classroom so that they don't have to move big pieces of heavy things when they get back. So all of that is happening right now, and you're going room by room by room by room. And if you can imagine, I'll give you a rough estimate of 75 rooms that has to happen to in 3 months. It's a lot of work, right? Mm-hmm. At the same time, you might need a wall that has to have some new drywall down the hallway. At the same time, you might have an HVAC system that needs a new motor on the roof. At the same time, we're looking at bricks on some of our buildings, need some replacement tuck pointing. At the same time, a window might be broken, so you got to get a new window in. So there are construction crews, with cleaning crews, with waxing crews, with maintenance crews, with landscaping crews. I mean, it's all just people moving around that campus. And you might have some summer school that sits in there too. So with all of those people moving, it's a magical dance of who's in those spaces at that time.
Summer school is probably underway, isn't it? Or getting shortly underway?
It is. Now, River Valley's chosen to do summer school in a little bit different way, and we're really excited about this. But at the high school, and again, for better or for worse, there are some students that just need some extra time to get through the work to get that credit. And so we call high school kind of a credit recovery. Let's say I was a sophomore and I was in my geometry class, and maybe I got sick at the end of the year, right? And I didn't quite finish that up, and I didn't have enough work done to get me the credit. I can come back in the summer, meaning I have to have a summer school teacher there for math. And then I come back in and I finish those units and I do that summer work, and it gets me to that credit so that I can keep my status in math moving ahead to get into my junior year. So high school is really about credit recovery. When you look at, and then I'll go down to River Valley Middle School. River Valley Middle School is really about summer slide. We don't want kids to step away from academic progress for, let's say, 4 months, right? We're going to have a really long summer, and to get them started and to get them going again in the fall is something that we want to be really careful with. So we want them to continue to progress. So we've got some students that have been identified that we really want to focus on, and they're kind of kids, I don't want to call them at risk, but we want to make sure that they're intentionally keeping their brains moving during the summer. And so these students, based on their parents enrolling them in this, we're going to have them work online with us. So we're going to be monitoring their online work throughout the week. But on Thursdays, we're bringing them into the middle school. And at the middle school, we're going to talk to them. We're going to motivate them. We're going to feed them, give them pizza, really kind of boost their energy and say, hey, how'd you do this week? Have you kept up? We're not asking them to sit at a computer 40 hours a week. We're asking them to dip into it 5 hours a week. And then we're going to take those kids on a field trip and really give them some positive engagement with our school climate committee during the time on Thursday. So for those kids, we're trying to motivate them so that they don't fall into that summer slide. Mm-hmm. So that's high school credit recovery, middle school summer slide. Elementary school is a boot camp, and that's going to happen later on in the summer. So parents that have elementary kids, you can still call River Valley Elementary and reach out to Mrs. Schaller. But really, that elementary boot camp is about getting them ready for the next year. So if they had a successful kindergarten year, but they're going to be nervous and they don't know what first grade is going to look like, we want them to come into first grade boot camp. So it's a kindergartner going into first grade that maybe wants to come in and spend a couple weeks in August to get used to that first grade space and to make sure that they're ready for, the next steps. And we want to do that later on in the summer so that those kids don't forget that over August. So that'll happen end of July, early August. And again, just look on our website or reach out to the elementary school. So again, credit recovery, motivation to get them out of summer slide, and then to get them ready for the next year at the elementary. And I think that's a really sound model. As I talked to the administrative team of Carla and James and Darby, I really wanted them to make summer school be what fits the kid. We shouldn't just do what we have always done. We've got to look forward to what really those kids need. And so I think those kids need these specific things, and I think their teams of teachers and professionals believe that they need these things. So we're excited. Summer's a great time for some kids to come on back. Others, they're just going to take the break because they can come back ready to go.
Well, I think it's important to be proactive, too, because you don't want students falling through the crack, and you want them to enjoy school. And maybe if things become maybe a little bit clearer, a little easier, maybe the next year is going to be better, too.
Yeah, it's all about success. Again, when we want those kids, and you started with this, Phil, this is great. You know, as they walk across that stage in their senior year, and I do that tassel and it flips over, we want them to understand that they're the biggest part of that progress. The kids got to buy into the system, right? The kids got to do it. Mom and dads and grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles can't do it for the student. We need to teach them that their progress is their own. And I think you know that as an adult. I know that as an adult. The only way we've gotten to where we are in our lives is because we had to kind of grab our bootstraps and pick them up and say, okay, if I want to get there, I have to put in some deep hard work to get to that step. And so there's a lot of research around what they call visible learning and involving the kid in that process, making sure they understand, why am I doing this? Well, you're doing this because it's not only in a standard, but it's also going to produce a product for you later on in your life where you might need that skill. I'll go back to my geometry model. You know, geometry for some kid might be the thing that they just don't connect to. But if they're ever going to go into a trade, we all know that the angles and the cuts and the geometry is going to become really important for them if they become a construction person or they become a pipe fitter, if they become a welder. So all of those pieces, you don't think, oh, geometry, welding, but they fit together really well when you get down to the brass tacks. So I think those things, making sure the kid sees their progress, making sure the kid isn't part of that discussion, is a really important step. So they're ready to honor their own success in a way because they've got to do it.
You have a survey that's been going out through the district, and I think we'll get to that after the break. We'll kind of go over what's been talked about so far, and maybe
thank
we can
you, Phil.
Do that. You bet.
You bet.
Lauren Gressler, our guest, you're on WRCO, and more coming up in a moment.
Hi, this is Dan Miller, Old Cooch Books and Libations, downtown Richland Center. Order your books here, and I give you a discount. That's the way it works at Old Cooch Books and Libations, and I have free shipping to any place in the United States. Old Cooch Books, the full-service bookstore, downtown Richland Center.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
This is Lynette from the Prescription Center. We want to thank all of our longtime friends who have put their trust in us to manage their family's health. We want to thank our increasing number of new friends who have learned just how special we treat our friends. We do realize you can go anywhere or use mail order. We want you to choose us every day. We know copays are the same for any pharmacy in town. However, we feel we provide a superior value for your dollars. If you find our prices higher, we will match prices for all medications. We check to see if any of your prescriptions have dollar off coupons from the manufacturer. These coupons actually put money back in your pocket. If your current pharmacy does not do this, give us a call. We know your time is valuable. When you call ahead, your prescriptions are ready when you stop. I guarantee you will never wait in our drive-thru. Okay, we do not have a drive-thru. The Family Prescription Center, where you and your family always come first.
Do you have a loved one in a nursing home? California mega millionaire Eric Hovde has some bad news for you. He doesn't think they have long to live. It's true. In a recent interview, Hovde said, if you're in a nursing home, you only have a 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is at a point to vote. That's shocking. But it gets worse. One of Hovde's companies is named a co-defendant in a wrongful death suit from an incident at a California senior living facility. He even referred to himself as an expert in the nursing home business. Yikes, that doesn't sound like the kind of expert we need. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him that Wisconsin seniors deserve to vote and get the care they deserve. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
Rev up your spring with Potestic Power Sports 50th Anniversary Boat Sale. Join us from June 11th to the 15th for days packed with savings. Explore the latest pontoons, tritoons, fishing boats, runabouts, and utility boats. Retail savings up to $15,000 on select 2024s and Potestic cash on 2023s up to $11,400 on select models while supplies last. We offer competitive financing and we want your trade-in. Don't miss out. June 11th to the 15th at Potestic Power Sports, Highway 14, Richland Center. 50 years of customer service. It's what we do.
Hello everyone, Brian from Walsh's. We have a great deal for Father's Day. Purchase any grill for $3.99 or more and we will deliver it free. Purchase a grill for $4.99 or more, not only will we deliver it free, but you will receive a $25 gift certificate to the Richland Locker. And from June 12th through the 15th, purchase any grill $2.99 or more and receive a free 20-pound LP fill-up. So stop in at Muscadet or Richland Center to get these and many other great deals. And as always, we appreciate your business.
7 million children suffer from asthma, more than any other chronic disease. Most asthma attacks are caused by allergic reactions to allergens, including those left behind by cockroaches and mice. In fact, 82% of U.S. households contain mouse allergens, and cockroaches are found in up to 98% of urban homes. How can you protect your family? Find out at pestworld.org. A message from the National Pest Management Association and the American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology.
Hey there, I'm Lance Bass, and this is Chip. And for more than 100 years, American Humane has been protecting animals in times of crisis. And if you're like me, your pet means the world to you, and you want to keep them safe if disaster strikes. American Humane's first responders are always prepared to rescue animals in danger, but you can also help. To learn more about disaster planning and keeping your animals safe, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
Lauren Glassbrenner, our guest on the morning show from WRCO Radio and the superintendent of River Valley Schools. We've talked a little bit since your referendum was not passed earlier in the spring about what comes next. And you talked last time about a survey, which I know you've been getting it out to the residents of the district recently, haven't you?
Yeah, and we've been doing a really good job of collecting that data. The data's open. I guess I'd say the survey is open through July. And so throughout the month of June, please, if you live in the River Valley area, even if you're a neighbor, you know, and you have family that goes there and you see this survey, we'd be very willing to take your information. And really what it is we had an advisory task force of people from our community that set the two questions for our referendum. And from that, we did our best guess. And that's really what any vote is you try to put it out there to be successful. And we weren't successful. And we're learning how to go on with that, because the next question that a lot of folks have is, well, now what are you going to do? Right. You're still going to close the little school up in Plain. And I say, I can't close the little school up in Plain until I have somewhere for those children to come to. So much like Richland Center, when you guys had some buildings shut down and some movement of grades, I want to make sure I do that really deliberately, really carefully, really with the community in support of it. So I've got to go slowly so that we don't have to go backwards. And so that was our first step. Really, we did that referendum. It came back with the reality of what our voters wanted at that moment. And so we're going to take that information and figure out what are we going to do next. The River Valley School Board really represents a great group of folks, right? I always get to say, I represent folks in Arena. I represent folks from Plain. I represent folks from Lone Rock. I represent folks from Spring Green. And each one of those four communities has a personality or kind of a cultural feel to it. And everybody knows it. And it won't help us to kind of point fingers at one community versus the other. We together make up River Valley, right? It's not the Plain School District. It's the River Valley School District. It's no longer the Lone Rock. It's the River Valley. And so collectively, I truly believe we are stronger. And we just got to figure out where we're going. And our first shot at it was not successful. We'll just jump back in and take a look at the data that we're going to seek from this survey. But again, this survey is only as good as the people that take it. So we've sent it electronically to all parents and families. We've had it on our social media sites, and I'll make sure that Mrs. Larson gets it back out there again. We've had it in the local newspaper twice. And then we've had it in the Shopper Stopper, or the Shopper's Guide, that comes out kind of in the River Valley, Sauk County, Iowa County, Richland County area over there. And we also will mail one straight to your home if you ever need one. So if you need to call me and let me know, hey, I need one of those surveys, I'm going to give you a number. Call me, Mr. Glassbrenner. It's 608-588-5100. Give me a holler and I'll mail one to your home address, because your information is relevant to us. We want to make sure, if your tax dollars and your vote matters to us, we want to make sure we have your voice included. So I want to just gather that information, and then I'll take that all to the board, and then the board, a great group of people, will then go through it and figure out what our next steps are. But within the survey, if I may, there's things that really tell us some things, so that I can, if the data comes out like minerals, it's going to help me mine for the gold, right? Like, that's the goal of this. I'm going to mine for the gold and silver. And in which community do you reside? It asks you to put down, are you from Arena, Lone Rock, Plain, or Spring Green? But it's also got a space for you to put down an other. Maybe you are from Bear Valley. Maybe you're from Clyde or Hyde. Or maybe you're from, you know, Wilson Creek area. You can always indicate that. It asks for your age. And I know that sounds a little odd at times, but our younger voters vote differently than our older voters. And we need to know the demographics of that. I need to mine that data. If I know that half of my voters are in the 60 plus age range, and they are saying this is what I should do, then that's going to make me lean one way or the other as we create the next steps. And then it goes into the questions. We had question one around some projects with ADA and some facility improvement. If you voted yes or no, and if you voted no, tell me why you voted no. And it's got some categories or a space to give it to you. The next question goes in to that question two, which was to expand River Valley's performing arts areas. And again, that came back, and we want to know, did you vote yes or no? And then tell us why. But I would say the last question, Phil, is probably the most important question, because it says, please choose the items you feel are necessarily your next steps. What do you find are necessary to replace, remodel, and renovate? And again, replace, remodel, and renovate, I have to say, is what we will have to continue to look at. So many of these surveys are coming back saying, live within your means. We try to, believe me, we try to. But you heard me mention Act 20 and new literacy standards that are coming. That's legislation that tells me I have to follow new law. That's going to cost money. That cost was not there 25 years ago. ADA requirements were not there 30 years ago. The current way of doing education with computers and technology and electrical needs was not there 30 years ago. So education has changed. And that's a flat out something that we all have to just live with and grow to love, because I think it's a good thing. Education has changed. But within that, then, certain things need to be replaced, remodeled, and renovated. And then it asks folks to really think about, if we had have to jump back into referendum, and this is years down the road, would that be, what are your priorities as a voter? Should it be for that ADA compliance, making sure every room is handicap and disability accessibility there? Should we focus on safety and security, which we can talk about in a second? Should we focus on facility maintenance? For example, HVAC systems or wiring, that's getting really old. Would you like us to focus on additional gym space? Would you like us to be one campus, meaning the little elementary that's still up in Plain? Are you for or against that school closing? And then it talks about, are you for or against kind of that single campus with having more kids in our high school? I've talked many times about the high school was built for a greater population, I guess I would say. It was built for about 600 kids, and there's only 400 in there, which leaves it with some space. So what grades should go to the high school? Really, that's kind of there too. It asks about traffic flow. The amount of people that drive their kids to school now is very different than it was 30 years ago, because many more live in town and fewer of them ride the bus coming in from our rural areas. And then the last thing it talks about is kind of that job to work area, the tech ed area, with welding, with woods, with carpentry, with mechanics, electrical stuff. Are they wanting me to put some time and effort into that. So this will give the board direction. And again, the survey's only as good as the people that take it. So please, it's not a vote for us spending money. It's giving us more information from your heart of where you want us to go next. And the district is your business. I don't want anybody that feels like, my kids are out of school. It doesn't matter. They're not going to care what I say. Yeah, we do. As long as you vote within the River Valley boundaries, we do care. We do want to hear you. It's a big family. That doesn't mean we always agree. That's plain and simple. Not everybody in a family agrees. I don't even agree with my brothers most of the time, right? But that's because we're different, and that's okay. But we have to respect each other and move ahead. And a big word that I've been using a lot lately is just moving forward. Part of the Wisconsin feel, I guess I'd call it, or the climate of Wisconsin is built upon our state always looking forward. Even the statue on the top of our Capitol building in Madison is called Forward, and she looks a direction on purpose so that she can always look forward. So I think as a little district, I think we need to move forward, and we'll take this information and do so. So with a positive heart, with a smile on our faces, we'll jump ahead and figure out what we need to do next.
I'm sure you've had a chance to go over some of the feedback after the referendum. Is there one thing that stands out over another on some of the reasons why? Was it the auditorium?
Or? I think it was. I think we hear a lot. I mean, we hear a lot that they felt that a performing arts space was too much at this time, based on the economy. And you shared with me, too, the price of housing and the ideas of what people can afford. For us to ask for an auditorium at this time seemed to be a reach for a lot of people. And they write comments on this. So again, if you do this survey, feel free to put down your ideas and comments here, and we'll try to keep it as anonymous and categorize it the best way we can. But we see a lot of comments, people writing on the side saying the auditorium is too much. It's just not feasible for me to support something that expensive at this time. And I think that put an air of us being, I don't know, I don't want to say greedy, but just asking too much at this time. So we've seen that. I think we get that answer loud and clear, that there wasn't support out there for a fine arts center, and that if a donor wants to come by with $10 million, I'll take it and I'll put their name on the wall and I'll make it the most beautiful rural fine arts center around. But until then, there's a lot of work that needs to be done with financing and planning before that question ever comes forward. What will come forward, though, is that idea of what should we remodel, replace, and renew sooner than later, right? And so those priorities will come next.
So July is kind of the deadline for this current survey, and then the process kind of goes in. Are you looking at a referendum next year, or what do you think?
So this was a capital referendum, and many school districts run off of operational referenda. So again, I spoke of that throughout this entire process. We will have an operational referenda coming out next April, and that's to just maintain the programming that we currently have. And that isn't going to hopefully raise or lower the tax bill. That's to maintain where we are. So I think that'll be much more palatable to the voter and to our community so that we can retain the great services and programming that we have at the Valley. And then who knows what comes next? It's really a school board decision. I know they've been having great conversations about what that operational referenda looks like for next April. But then after that, we just don't know yet. But we also need to grab this information while it's raw in people's minds. They are still thinking about how, yes, you either should have fought harder or that was a silly question. You shouldn't have asked it. We need their ideas now so that we can use that for the next 2 years to come to plan. And again, I can't give an answer, but I would guess that there's more to come, I guess is the best way to say it. In a district where the buildings were built in the 60s, there's going to be needs, right? The high school has part of it built in 62. The middle school was built in 68, 69, right? Some great people that are retired educators talk about their first days of walking into that building in 1969. Again, state of the art, 55 years ago, and education has transitioned so much. And I can throw the year 55 out because that's the summer I was born. So 1969 was a great year to build things, but there's many changes that have happened since 1969. And so we've just got to make sure that we're doing the best best for the families and the kids. And we'll get there. We'll get there. Again, moving forward. We'll always take that information and move forward.
You've had some summer reading, time to read one of your favorite books, I think.
Yeah, well, it's a great book. And I live in the land of rural. I always have, and I really like the idea. I was not raised on a farm, but we were raised by an agricultural guy. So my dad ran a cheese factory in Fenimore, so we were all closely tied. My grandfather ran a dairy farm up in Boscobel, so we were there as often as we could get there. And I would say some of my best memories come from that home farm up on Shockley Hill, as they say, up across E, on your way to Steuben, if you will, up across the way in Boscobel. But within that, it really makes me go into regional literature a lot. I'm an English teacher by trade, and I really like good literature. And I recently found a book by Jerry Apps, and a lot of people in the area know Jerry Apps. He's a local man. He grew up in central Wisconsin, kind of up in the potato farm fields and everything. But he's got a new book out there, and it's kind of a Speaker's Corner book, it's called, and it's called On Farms and Rural Communities. What I like about this Jerry Apps book is it's taking the history, his great knowledge, because he's an older fella now, right? Like, he gets it, but he's an older fella, and he can remember the threshing days, but he also is looking at how are farms going to exist in the next 100 years. And so it puts it forward, and it's called An Agricultural Ethic for Our Future. And there's some great information in here, and something that just really hits home is the way that schools are affected by this rural feel. There's disadvantages and advantages of staying in a rural area. And this book really digs into some statistics there. And I just want to read a couple parts here real quick, Phil. I'll do my best.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so there's advantages of living in a rural life, including some open spaces. We have less crowding, generally quieter surroundings with fewer sounds of trucks and sirens and automobiles. We have less crime, a slower pace of living with lower levels of anxiety. Disadvantages include poor employment opportunities, lack of basic services, inadequacy to public transportation, making it difficult for people to get around for work, lack of high-speed internet, lack of sufficient numbers of hospitals, medical clinics, or healthcare professionals. A related challenge to many rural communities is the increasing number of older adults with associated healthcare problems as they retire, which comes along with finances. Besides a growing older population, many rural communities are also experiencing a general decline in the number of school-age children, resulting in schools closing and the need to transport children greater distances to school. Thus, it turns into poverty. Poverty is a problem in many rural communities. One of the reasons for rural poverty is young people leaving the area for jobs in urban areas upon graduation of high school. Compounding that poverty problem in rural areas is often the lack of human service programs designed to assist our poor. During the 2010s, which is really only 10, 15 years ago, rural areas tended to start to lose population, while urban areas gained. Rural counties were not considered poor unless they increased their populations. So, thus, those who were persistently poor declined even more. So if we're in an economically disadvantaged area like Richland County, Iowa County, the poor declined even at a faster pace. 5.7% of all people left. This is not true for our urban areas, and the nature of this rural economy has affected our population trends. Rural states with the highest percentage of declining population were more dependent on farming. Again, Sauk, Iowa, Richland County, we are dependent on farming still. And it's more dependent on those folks that are in farming, manufacturing, and the extraction of natural fossil fuels and resources. And it goes on to speak about what that does to our villages. And I think that connects directly over to our survey. Jerry Apps is a wise man, but he also understands that these rural communities have been plexed with some really challenging ideas. We've got fewer kids, greater needs, and aging populations. So we've got people that are strapped in their economy, right? You've got more retirees on more fixed incomes. You've got fewer children, but their needs are increasingly more expensive. And in my surveys that I've been receiving back, they're saying things like, we've got fewer kids, work with less money. I wish we could. The way we do education is so much more expensive than it used to be and has so many more requirements coming from state and federal things that it just requires it to be a more expensive thing. And that's just the reality of it. Even though, yes, our population is aging and our numbers for students are coming down, another offset of that is with fewer kids, that tax burden goes on fewer people. And so the people that are doing big construction things are in the urban areas. The schools in the urban areas have tremendous facilities because their population is growing. And so it just makes you look at the disadvantages of rural. And I think we've really got a complex system that's not working. The way we fund schools off of property taxes doesn't seem to work in my mind anymore. And I think we're going to have to reach out to legislators to really think about, is Wisconsin ever going to become progressive and not just place that burden on property tax? And I don't know what the answer is, but it is an incredible thing. It made more sense when everybody had 200 acres and a farm. Mm-hmm. That's not true anymore. And so, yes, population for kids is going down. That doesn't mean the cost of education goes down with it. And I need to say that maybe another time so that people hear me. Yes, the population of students is coming down, but that doesn't mean the cost of educating those students is coming down with it. And at the same time, my population is getting older and has less income. So it's a challenge. And I want people to hear out loud that we take that challenge with a great deal of importance and concern, and that we'll work on it responsibly and respectfully, but that the challenges are there and the needs are not going to go away. Kids are always going to need to be educated, and they're going to have the best if we want them to come back to our areas to help us with that population decline. So if we don't improve, then I fear that it will continue to get smaller and smaller. And I think there's something special about being a part of the rural world. And so I love the Valley. I want to stay in the Valley. I want to make sure that the Valley is here for 100 more years. But that means sometimes by looking forward and thinking about what the next 50 years are going to bring us.
Yeah, we love where we live, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
We've talked about it several times in the program about some sort of way you can kind of convince legislators and whatnot, the per pupil funding from the state. Maybe that's got to change somewhere along the line, too.
It's going to have to. The mandates that come from the state around IDEA, which is a lot of special education law, around kids with language needs, English language learner laws, even Title IX laws, new literacy laws, all of those are mandates from our government. They don't come with the funding to meet that mandate. And that's just an error on somebody's part. And I don't know who to poke the blame at right now, but those come as unfunded mandates to rural schools. And if an unfunded mandate goes to the Middleton Cross Plains District, they've got that great tax base that they can pull from somewhere. You know, they can rob from Peter to pay Paul. We don't have a Peter to rob from, right? We don't have that, but that's a mandate. And so with a mandate comes a timeline, a report, so that I remain in compliance so that I can keep the district open. And some of that unfunded mandates then hurt the other programs around them. And that's why you see so many rural districts and smaller towns going to operational referenda. They have not updated the way that they fund schools. So for the last 15 years, we've been just trying to get by and doing the best we can. But there's not enough money out there to do things like fixing a school up or putting in new safety and security or making sure all the bathrooms are ADA compliant. So there's just not enough money there. Again, people will say, live within your means. We do. But then things get set aside, just like at home. You know, you have to prioritize. And at some point, you know, the furnace breaks and you got to replace it. And that comes in and you have to pay for it. So I guess I just share all of this funding stuff that comes from this survey so that people know that we're not moving through these days without great contemplation, and we're really thinking deeply about how we move forward and that we're being really careful. We don't want to do things too quickly either. So again, yes, you know, I wish they would take a really hard look at the funding formulas at our state level, because it's a really hard thing. Some of the biggest districts in the state of Wisconsin, like Milwaukee, Madison, Wausau, La Crosse, they're seeing great changes. Great changes. I just read an article again, Green Bay Public Schools, which is Green Bay, big town, right? Packers, great things up there. People have moved out of Green Bay and gone into suburban areas. Green Bay is shutting down, I think, 9 schools. They're having to close the inner city schools because everybody's in the urban area. And so that migration away from city centers is really affecting a lot of different places. And I think we need to take a hard look at the way we fund education and really take a look at the different ways that cities and populations use their dollars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for teachers too. You know, you talk about staff members. Let's say four or five students opt out or move away or whatever. Yep. That's basically the salary for an employee.
It is, and it's really hard. And so again, that open enrollment process that a lot of families use, I agree with parts of it. I don't agree with all parts of it, but it definitely is something that is really interesting that we have to consider and watch those population trends for sure.
Indeed. Yeah. You wanted to talk a little bit about some summer emergency things you're getting together here and looking ahead to the new school year.
Yeah, so Richland and Sauk counties both, and really Sauk County is doing our leadership, but there's been safety and security processes that we always have to dive into. And within those safety and security things, with that recent school shooting that happened up at Mount Horeb Middle School, it's just something that I also want you guys in radio land, I guess, to understand is every summer, schools get really involved in making sure that their emergency practices are well built and that we practice those things carefully with staff as well. So as our staff comes back in the fall, there's going to be a resurgence of some new ideas around safety and security. And we don't want that to be a scary thing for kids, but we also have to prepare children. Right. And so parents, they're just going to have some real questions around that. So again, River Valley is going to take action and really jump into some new safety and security. And a lot of that's being driven by our counties because we really want to think about emergency response in a really consistent way, no matter if it's a kid in Reedsburg, River Valley, Richland, Riverdale, Weston, wherever. We want to make sure that we're taking action in a consistent way as a district. So we're going to be working in the region on some emergency stuff there. And I guess that's enough for now. I just want people to understand we're not trying to scare the kids, but we do have to prepare the kids. And to do that, we have to have some real conversations. And we'll do that really sensitively, like little people hear about it differently than big people. So our high school practices this differently than our elementary practices this. But it is something that we will be planning throughout the summer and getting ready for. And I just want families to know we're always aware of those things and that we'll do what we can to keep every school an academic place, but also a socially safe place as well, so that their kids feel comfortable being there.
Yeah, the Mount Horeb incident, that was an eye-opener. And I'm guessing for districts, I mean, you're very close to them, too.
Yeah.
An eye-opener and kind of what went on there, maybe what helped them.
Yes.
So it wasn't a worse situation than it was.
Correct. And they had police presence very quickly. They also had an SRO, which is school resource officer, that was right on site very quickly. And all of those things do help out a district. So if anybody out there is questioning whether or not, you know, it's too bad that you have to have police on campus, I don't think that it's required, but it sure was helpful to Mount Horeb. And I think most everybody would agree it's a great thing to have when you need it, right? So you have to prepare and think about that budget for that and really make sure those processes are ready for that. So yeah, it was Mount Horeb did a great job. Their team reintroduced safety, their families. I don't even know how to process that because I wasn't in their situation, but Dr. Salerno, who is their superintendent, did a great job of honoring that community, thanking the community for their great support as they've gone through referenda to make sure they recognize their buildings were most safe as they could feel like they could be. And I think, he just did a really nice job. The district's moving ahead up there, but it was too close to home. Right. And we want to make sure that we listen to those things and really process it wisely so that we're also prepared and ready to go just in case of an emergency as well.
Anything else you'd like to add today, Lauren?
The only thing I'd like to do is give a shout out to a few kids. We have a whole team up at State FFA this week.
Oh,
so
all right.
Sherry Graffunder's got a great team up in Madison, and the State FFA convention's going on this week. We've got FFA on the Hill. We've got farm forums going on. We've got leadership conferences. We've got all sorts of state convention and ag science fairs going on. But a shout out to Emma Anding. Emma Anding's one of our great members, and she got a 3-star leadership award this week. And then a huge shout out to two kids. The highest degree you can receive in FFA is a state FFA degree. And just, I believe, yesterday in a ceremony, Taya Hatfield, who is right from the Lone Rock area, and Ashton Hillenbrand, who is also from that Lone Rock area, they received their state FFA degree. So hats off to Taya and hats off to Ashton. Great job and great work as you completed those degrees at the FFA convention.
You bet. You got to be proud of that FFA program you have there.
Yeah.
Boy.
We've got the best. I'm so proud. Again, I get to be the proud bearer of all those great things that are happening over in the Valley. So again, a shout out to anybody. If you have questions about the Valley, reach out. I'm always available and I'd love to have a cup of coffee.
Great. We'll see you back here in July then.
Sounds good, Phil.
All right. Lauren Glassbrenner joining us here, Superintendent of River Valley Schools.
Hi, Travis with Wirtz Floor and Home. Want to improve your sleep quality? Maybe a mattress with a built-in cooling cover is just what you need from American Bedding that is made right here in Wisconsin. Stop down to our newly remodeled showroom and see why we have quickly become Spring Green's largest mattress dealer. With over a dozen mattresses on display, our expert staff will assist you in finding the perfect mattress to give you a quality night's sleep. Located on Highway 14 next to the Ring Brothers.
Are you ready to buy a house? Do you know somebody looking to buy a house? Do you not know where to start? Do you not know where to apply? Do you just have some general questions about buying a home? Hey, Jason Schultz here with USA Mortgage, the Schultz Mortgage Team, your local mortgage expert. When I say expert, I mean that because mortgage is all I do. I don't want your checking account. I don't want your car loan. I just want to help you buy a house. Whether you need an FHA loan, a VA loan for veterans, a USDA loan, or a conventional loan, contact the Schultz Mortgage Team 7 days a week, 604-5068. We do not work banker hours.
Looking for an exciting career opportunity with a world leader in coated glass for residential windows and doors? Look no further than Cardinal CG. They're hiring for all shifts, including production positions, with the potential to earn up to $29 an hour. Enjoy up to 6 weeks of time off per year and start earning vacation hours on your very first day. Apply in person Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. Interviews and tours are available at 1024 East Madison Street in Spring Green. Join the Cardinal CG team today and be a part of the future of residential glass innovation.
Tackle your next project with ease with Napa.